The Lord is good, isn't he? Praise God. If you have your Bible, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to talk tonight about keys to sowing and reaping. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Sowing and reaping is still going to operate as long as this earth remains. We'll read that verse later. But sometimes, you know, we lose sight of the fact that sowing and reaping is an ongoing kingdom principle. It is a spiritual law and it is a natural law, sowing and reaping. And so here in 2 Corinthians 9, we'll start in verse 6. Just want to read 2 Corinthians 9, and then we're going to read from Galatians 6, and then before we go on. All right, verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything and all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. You know, one of the things, you know, at this Thanksgiving time, it is a time of thanking God for the bountifulness that he has blessed us with. And it's a result of, direct result of our sowing and sowing what we have and letting God give us the increase. And when we do that, as we give, now in relationship to what he's talking about in the context there of chapter 9, he's talking about giving to the saints, giving to those that have less than you, that are struggling. And he says it causes thanksgiving to be made to God. When I help someone who is in need, it causes thanksgiving to come to God. Now, Galatians chapter 6, look here in verse 6. We'll start there. Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially to them that are of the household of faith. So these two scriptures here kind of are jumping off places. Talks about sowing and reaping, and some obvious things there that we'll come back to. I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 1. Our first key to understand concerning sowing and reaping is that everything starts with a seed. Everything starts with a seed. Now God started, the seed that he used was his word. But when God created the earth and created the plants and the animal, everything God created, he put within that the seed necessary for them to multiply, to replenish the earth and to multiply. Look here in Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Notice, God put the seed inside of it. All right, verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Jump over to verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Evidently, when God created creeps, they were good, but something happened after the fall. If Dallas was playing the drums, I'd have got a good rim shot there. But anyway, amen. But notice here that everything's creating after its own kind. And of course, we know when God created man, he said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Look also here at verse number 29. He says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So the fruit of the fruit comes from the seed. The seed is planted. And we're going to see that everything that God has done, he has done according to seed time and harvest, or sowing and reaping. Look at Genesis chapter 8. Now here after the flood, God reaffirms some things about how things are going to operate here on this earth. And this earth is going to operate just as long as God wants it to. Somebody asked me, do you believe in global warming? Well, I believe it the way Peter preaches it. It's going to all burn up in an instant. It's going to get warm. But that's all right. You won't be here. But yeah. There's nothing wrong with taking care of what we have. I'm not saying that, but you know. Anyway, you find Genesis 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, now notice it, seed time and harvest. That's another way of saying sowing and reaping, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, have you noticed that? You've noticed that there. Now, notice this. He said, you know, some folks, again, talking about just this aspect of God, you know, and going on about, well, it's all, we're getting more. No, cold is still going to exist and heat. This is our promise from God right here. He's going to balance it out. Don't worry about it, okay? It'll last as long as we need it to. But seed time and harvest. And so sowing and reaping is essential. It's God's original way of doing things, and God still operates this way. So everything, as we said, number one, everything starts with the seed. Second, nothing happens until the seed is planted. Nothing happens until the seed is planted. You know, if you want a crop of carrots, you got to plant carrot seeds, right? Any of you grow a garden, a vegetable garden, any of you have that? How many of you know you got to plant it if you want to harvest it? Amen. Now, it's interesting, you know, here, now some folks, you know, we got Brother James Shelby who works here. He does the aquaponics, whatever they call that. He grows tomatoes like they're, and he does it in the water. But he still, you know, you still have to have the seed, get it started and all that. But it's just a, but this ground, you know, I'm originally from central Illinois, and that's good crop ground, okay? You can grow some good things there. And we've lived in Kentucky, where we lived right close to the river, it was good for growing watermelons. Amen, you grow a good watermelon in that sandy soil. But then here, you know, we've it's kind of different. You gotta, it gets hot. You know, the ground's a lot different. It's kind of a clay to it. You gotta learn how to do it. The soil is different. Amen. Well, you know, sowing and reaping. We gotta understand that we have to plant it. Nothing's gonna happen till you plant the seed. All right. Third thing to think about is whatever I sow is what I reap. We'd read that in Galatians chapter 6, doesn't he? God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If I plant carrots, I'm going to get carrots. I don't know why I'm thinking about carrots today. I guess I had carrots for lunch today, so I like it. Amen. So whatever you plant, you're going to reap. Now remember, this just isn't, when we're talking about seed, this is how all of life works. Naturally and spiritually. We know the word talks about sowing, the sower sows the word. The words that we speak are can be seed and are seed. You know, the actions that we partake in, the things that we do are seed. If we allow thoughts to continue to go through and we plant those in our thinking, they become seed. And we will reap whatever we sow. Okay? Now, some folks read there in Galatians and they want to center up on the, well, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. Okay, yeah. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap the Spirit. Let's talk about that. So don't always center up on the, you know, well, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's a but God in there. All right? You know, don't stop there. Here. Okay? And then here's another aspect of this. So it all begins with the seed. Number two, nothing happens till the seed is planted. Number three, whatever I sow is what I reap. Then this one, number four, is I'm not the only sower. Now here's something. Look at John chapter 4. Everybody in this room tonight is a sower. Amen. Everybody on the earth is a sower. Now listen to me, whether they're a Christian or not, they're sowing seed. And a lot of times, you know, we forget that there's seed being sown. Of course, we know the devil, he likes to sow weeds, right? And there wasn't supposed to be any weeds on the earth until man sinned. Sin brought in weeds. And if you've ever spent a perfectly good summer day ruined by walking in soybeans, cutting weeds out of the soybeans, then you understand weeds. Amen. We planted soybeans. We didn't plant cuckleburrs. We didn't plant these, you know, milkweed, all these other things that grow in there but it's in the earth. They're in the earth, and so because of the curse that's there, but thank God we can live above that. Now here in John chapter 4, look what Jesus said, beginning verse 35. Say not there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And therein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Another man labored, and you entered into their labors. Sometimes, now everything happens because seed is sown, but sometimes God allows you to reap where you have not sown. When he took the children of Israel into the promised land, he said, you're going to reap what you have not sown. It's a blessing. It's a type of us coming into our inheritance in Christ. We reap where we have not sown. That's because we're constantly sowing, constantly sowing. Sometimes, you know, I'm sowing now for what's going to happen, and I'm never going to see it. Jesus, you understand, if Jesus tarries, but someone else will. We were talking the other day about you know, this place and the school and how, you know, that's 46 graduating class coming, you know, and all this kind of thing going on. And but we got students here that are at least third generation. I haven't really checked to see if we got any fourth generation students, but think about the harvest of someone who made a decision and came to school here and sowed 1 year or 2 years as a school became a 2-year school, sowed that time to come here, and now look at what is being harvested. Some of them gone home to be with the Lord, but look at the harvest that's happened in their family, the legacy. One decision. Listen, it's never too late. I don't know where you are right now, but I want to tell you, it's never too late to sow seed. You can make a decision today that will affect the future of your family forever. It will change the direction of your family forever. Amen? The legacy of it. Making decision. But notice here he said, there's others. Some will sow and some will reap. Hallelujah. Now here's something about another key that we have to understand. This would be our fifth one. I always reap in a different season than the one in which I sow. I always reap in a different season than the one in which I sow, if it's results of my sowing. Okay? How many know there's a planting season? You talk to any farmer. There's a planting season, and then there's harvesting season. Look at James chapter 5. These are just some practical things to remember, because first of all, I do want to say this. We need to be more intentional about our sowing and watching the seed that we're sowing. Now, I think all of us would agree there's some things we need crop failure on. Oh, God. God, send the locusts and eat that up. You know, just, I don't want that to come up. Amen. You ever planted something you didn't want to harvest of? Yeah. But you know, if you sow love, you're going to reap love. You sow strife, you're going to reap strife. If you sow faithfulness, you're going to reap faith. If you sow, no matter what it is, good or bad, whatever you sow, there's a great potential to reap it. Amen. Thank God for God's intervention at times. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This early rain was what prepared the ground to plant the seed. It's early. It waters the ground. It gets the ground. Now you can go in and plant. And then the latter rain comes to complete the harvest. It's what causes that ear of corn to fill out. It causes, you know, that cotton to open up. It causes the whole thing. It's that latter rain that comes. But there's a time period between. There's a season between them. Amen. Now, God has said in these last days concerning spiritual things that the early rain and the latter rain is going to come together. And Amos said that the reaper is going to overtake the sower and the sower is going to overtake the plowman. In other words, it's going to come so fast. There is no season in between. We're constantly in a season of sowing, reaping, plowing. Amen. Hallelujah. But to reap, and just a lot of things just in life, we reap in a different season than the one in which you sow. Now, here's one, number six. I always reap more than I sow. Look at Luke chapter 6. Great thing about a seed. Most, a seed, you know, especially even concerning the size of it. Look at the size of a seed. How much bigger is the harvest than the seed? Isn't that right? I like to think of corn. Corn is a magnificent example of planting. You know, that corn, it takes about a third of a bushel bag of corn to plant 1 acre of ground. And so you get one bushel bag, about 90-pound bag of corn, and you can plant a whole acre or plant 3 whole acres with that one bag, all right? And where I'm from in Central Illinois, when you plant that, I mean, in just an average year, you're going to get 200 bushel per acre. So that one bushel bag produced 600 bushel, okay? You're going to get more than what you plant. Now here he says, what's it say in Luke 6:38? We know this verse, right? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God has created the seed to not just reinvent itself, but to produce more and to increase. God is a God of increase. And so when you plant that seed, you know, soybeans doesn't do that great, but it'll do one bushel, will get you about 70 back, sometimes 80 in a really good year. That's still increase, isn't it? And so as we plant, realize this, that what we have now, how many of you know what you have now won't sustain you through the future? You've got to keep sowing constantly. You know, the scripture talks about cast your bread upon the water and it shall come back on every wave. Well, if you didn't cast any out there, you can't be looking for it. How many heard people say, I'm waiting for my ship to come in? Did you order one? I mean, did you send one out? I mean, amen. All right. Here's a number seven. It's got nine, so we're about done here. But number seven. I can increase my harvest by sowing more seed. In 2 Corinthians 9, he said, he that sows generously shall reap generously. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Now, he's not saying they're putting anything bad on the good, great on the generous and bad on the sparing. It's just you understand, the more seed you plant, the bigger of the harvest you're going to have. That's just natural, but that's also spiritual. So in thinking about sowing and reaping, all right, in this, the more I can sow, the more harvest I can get. Now, the thing about it is, when my harvest starts to increase, I need to also increase my sowing, right? You know, when you come to whatever you want to call as rich, because the Bible doesn't, the rich just means fully supplied. But whenever you get fully supplied so that you're not needing assistance from anybody else, you're fully supplied by God, don't forget to be rich towards God. For like God told him, he said in Deuteronomy, it says, "For remember that it is God who gave you the ability to get wealth in order that he may establish his covenant." Don't say, "I did this, my might, oh, I'm so smart, and I work so hard, you know, and I did this, and I did all that." Well, thank God you did all that, but God. Don't forget, listen, it doesn't matter what you have done. It does matter. Now, don't misunderstand me. It does matter what you do. But remember this, if it wasn't for God, no matter what you did, would cause it to work. Now, here's the thing. You see, well, why are people in the world? Because God makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. God's a blesser. Amen. And as long as this earth remains, if you operate in seed time and harvest, it's going to work for you. Amen. Hallelujah. So I can increase my harvest by sowing more seed. And so I start where I am. Now, I'll say that. Start where you are. Start where you're not. Start where you are. John Wesley, when he was there at Oxford, he was making 30 pounds a year. All right? And so decided, I'm going to live on 28, and I'm going to give away 2. And as much as he increased, he got to where his a lot more money, he always lived on the 28 and gave the rest. He kept increasing. And he was faithful to sow, and he kept increasing, but he just kept himself. Now, that was his decision, all right? But you understand the principle there. Keep increase, keep sowing. And he just kept sowing, and it just kept coming back. Amen. And he really lived a long time for somebody in his time period. They said a couple things about him. He would never hold a grudge, even though he was, you know, they kicked him out of his father's church, wouldn't let him preach from his own father, where his father had been a faithful minister for years. So he went out and stood on his headstone. He was buried in the cemetery. He went out and stood on his father's headstone and preached. And asked him, he never would say anything bad about the people that kicked him out of the church. I guess the cemetery was public ground. I don't know. I guess you can stand on your own father's headstone if you want. I don't know what the law is on that. All right. Here's number 8. The time to sow seed is now. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now faith is. Realize it's always seed sowing season. Now again, it's not according to what you don't have. It's according to what you have. But it's always time to sow. You know, you can sow love every day. How many of you know that? Right? You can sow mercy every day. You can sow goodness every day. You can be generous every day. Right? Looking for opportunities to sow seed. You can be kind every day. Amen. You know, we're talking, again, I was talking here just recently with somebody, and we were talking about all the different folks that we know who are out in ministry today, who while they were here in school at Ramah Bible Church, they ushered. Or they worked in children. I mean, they were sowing. They were sowing into what God had for them. Just you know, you can, if you don't have anything, you always have yourself. You can always sow yourself. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul said, they didn't give as we wanted them to, as we thought, but at first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us. And then their finances came along. And then this last one is very, very important. To reap the harvest, I must be patient and never give up. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. You know, a farmer, plants the seed. And you don't go out there the next day and look at the field and expect to see the harvest. You know there's a growing time. But the farmer expects the harvest. Why do I know that? I'm telling you, after you plant, the farmer might take a couple days, but then immediately they start working on the harvesting equipment. They start making sure everything's ready. All that I'm going to use during the harvest, I'm getting that ready. Now, it may be 4, 5, 6 months down the road yet, but I'm getting it ready. And then a time comes, okay, then I've got to do some other things here to the crops. I need to go out and take care of them. Got to get the weeds away from them, do all that kind of stuff. I do that, but it's all because I'm expecting the harvest. The harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. And then the other thing they do, they start watching the prices. You know, what's the future price? Because they'll sell their harvest before they've ever gone out and picked it. Because then all they have to do, then they sell it for a certain price, and then they go deliver it, and whatever the weight is, and you know, as long as the moisture level's right, then that's what they get. But they're watching it. Why do they watch it? Why would you watch the price if you're not expecting a harvest? No, you have to keep expecting the harvest. Don't forget about it. But be patient. Patient means be consistent, but then also never give up. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Hallelujah. We're going to receive the promise. Amen. Hey, let me encourage, during this time, all this turmoil that's going on everywhere around us, you know, it didn't stop seed time and harvest. None of it stopped. Isaac sowed in famine, during a famine, and reaped 100-fold in that time. It doesn't matter what's going on around us right now. I don't care what's happening. Listen, you can't vote in or vote out seed time and harvest. God's already said it's going to be there. Amen? You can't bring any. There's nothing that can happen. There's nothing going on that's going to stop this seed. So just keep on. Listen, don't give up. Be patient. We're going to outlast all of this. Eternity is a long time anyway. All right? But I don't know about you. I just think we ought to be people. Listen, we've sown seed. We got it coming. We're going to outlast all of you. And no matter what happens, no matter what the world they decide to do in the world, we're going to love them. We're going to minister to them as we can. We're going to win them to Christ if they'll listen. But we're going to win this thing because we're not going to give up. We're going to be patient. We got seed in the ground. We got seed. There's seed out there working. Hallelujah. There's seed. Now, one of the greatest ways to think about seed, we talk about the early and the latter rain. One of the greatest ways to water that seed is to be thankful. Pastor talked about this morning, just give thanks. Be thankful. Every time I thank God for it, I'm watering that seed. I'm watering that seed. I'm watering that seed. Just keep speaking the word of God over it. Keep saying what God said about it, and it's going to come to pass. I'm watering that seed. I'm watering the seed of healing. What? That word that says by Jesus stripes I'm healed. It's a seed. It's going to produce healing in my body. I'm watering it. I thank you, Lord, that by Jesus stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, it's so good to be healed. Thank you, Lord, it's so good. It's so good not to have to take this medicine in. It's so good not to have to wear this brace anymore. It's so, all the time you're taking the medicine, you're wearing the brace, but you're thanking God. You're watering that seed. That harvest is going to come. It's growing. You're like the farmer getting the harvesting tools ready. You're sharpening your blades. You're oiling up. You know, you got a combine. You got a grease. There's more places to shoot grease in that thing than you can ever imagine. You got to get that all ready. You're getting it ready. If it needs fixed, you take it to get it fixed. Doesn't matter what it is, because when it's time to harvest, you got to have your sickle ready. And the way you keep your sickle ready is just by keep thanking God. Keep thanking God. Just keep thanking God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for seed time and harvest, for these things, Father. Hallelujah. Just some practical things and spiritual things that we looked at tonight. Father, we thank you that as we sow our seed, we shall receive the harvest. We will not faint. We will not draw back. We'll keep going forward. Because we know that you're faithful. Your word has within it the necessary ability and life to bring it to pass. Whatever your word says shall come to pass. And so we put it in our mouth, and we put it in our actions, and we put it in our thoughts. And your word is true, Father. We thank you for it. We give you glory, and we give you honor, give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you honor and glory. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ into your life, don't leave here tonight without doing that. If you need to rededicate your life tonight, I want to pray for you before we leave. If you've never accepted Jesus and you want to tonight, or you want to rededicate your life, you say, well, things have I've kind of gotten away from it, but I'm here tonight to say before God and all these people, I'm with God. If you want me to pray for you, just wave your hand at me real quick so I'll know. Ushers, you kind of help me. The pastor said you can't see everybody. All right. Praise the Lord. Look like everybody's right with God. Listen. If you're not in heaven, it's not my fault. If I don't see you there, it's not my fault. Right? So, anybody? Glory to God. All right. Lift your hands. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, this week as we celebrate here in this country what we call Thanksgiving. We're thanking you. Nothing else, just you. You are the one. You are the one that's caused us to have anything to be thankful for. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost who lives and abides within us. And Father, we thank you that you will do all, you do more than we could ever ask or think according to the power that works in us. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6 o'clock is lights on. And then come on over for the service this Wednesday night. Amen.